Thank you. Good morning. I'm Will Dietz from the University of Illinois, and I'm here to talk to you about Slipstream, a system for automatically optimizing the communication between processes. This is joint work with my colleagues at the University of Illinois, Joshua and Nathan, and my advisor, Vikram Advait. Let's get started. The use of TCP is, well, ubiquitous. And from the previous talks, I don't think I need to motivate that too strongly. It's the foundation of internet technologies. It's how distributed systems communicate in a general purpose way. It is one of the few IPC mechanisms that is widely supported by programming languages, by operating systems, and by the tools and frameworks that we use every day. TCP also provides this notion of location transparency, which allows the same piece of code to communicate across the network and to processes on the same machine equally well, which is especially important when in this world of virtualization and orchestration technologies where you might not know such locality properties until deployment. Together, this makes the use of TCP very programmer-friendly, but not always ideal. In particular, is fairly well known that faster IPC mechanisms exist for local communication. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. How can we get the best of TCP generality for without compromising on fast performance locally? Let's look at an example. Here we have a web application written in your favorite language, Java, C, Python, or whatever have you, and then let's say it's serving up some requests to your clients. Web application is non-trivial. It has a database running on another node, and it makes use of a local memory store, like Redis perhaps, for caching. As shown, all of this communication is being done over TCP, which is where we can identify what I'm going to call an optimization opportunity. The communication between the web application and this memory store, of course, could be done with this faster local IPC mechanism. Let's see what happens when we do this manually. Well, here I've converted it to using Unix domain sockets instead. And an important property is that in doing so, we avoid going through the TCP networking stack. And as a result, by leveraging this locality property explicitly in our communication model, we can observe greatly improved performance, almost double of what we would have achieved otherwise. And this is really cool, but it required us to have this manual insight. And so what we thought when we looked at this was, can we do this automatically? Yes, we can. And that's what I'm here to talk to you about, Slipstream. All right, well, a quick overview of what's coming next. I'm going to give an overview of the Slipstream system. I'm going to have some fun talking about how Slipstream works and go over some selected results, of course, to see the paper for the full, but it gets an idea of the performance, the compatibility of our system, and our experiences with Docker. And, of course, we'll wrap it up with some conclusions. All right. So in designing Slipstream, we wanted to automatically optimize inter-process communication, but also to be useful, and useful in as many environments as is possible. In order to achieve this, we have a number of design principles for Slipstream. The first is we require no modifications to the application, and we are language agnostic. As we mentioned before, the application could be written in any number of languages, and we'd like to support all of them. Additionally, we require no kernel modifications, and we'd like to make no assumptions about the network or the routing that's being performed. We want to black box all of that. And finally, and perhaps very importantly, but not least, we are backwards compatible. We want to make sure that you can use Slipstream without even fully deploying it within your own system, but of course so you can interoperate with endpoints that are not using our technology. Well, it's a lot of talk, but what is slipstream and what does it look like? The first component of the slipstream we call libipc. It is a shim library that sits between the application and the operating system. There is an instance of libipc per application. The other main component of slipstream is IPCD. I'm awesome at naming, by the way, which is the coordinating daemon for all of the libipc instances on the same machine. And together, they form slipstream. All right, well, how does it work? Well, there are three main things that slipstream must do. It must track the TCP state of the applications, monitoring them, and using this, it will detect when local communication occurs. And finally, having identified such optimization opportunities, it will switch over to using a more efficient local transport, such as UDS or Unix domain sockets. All right, look at each of these steps in turn, starting with tracking the TCP state. This is done primarily by libipc, which transparently monitors the TCP operations performed by the application. Operations such as read, write, listen, and the rest of your normal socket API. But that's not all it has to do in order to track state. Its job gets significantly more complicated by having to maintain this state throughout the execution and supporting all the things that applications like to do, such as forking, and leaving file descriptors open across the fork instance and closing them on one end, which is a common pattern in servers. Similarly, exec. There are file descriptors can be left open across an exec instance, and some of them are not. There's this whole close on exec thing. And there's a call such as dupe, which are how processes on Linux can manipulate dupe and others. File descriptors, and libipc has to be able to handle all of this, which is actually really cool, and I would refer you to the implementation if you're curious on how we manage that. But having all of this come together to track the TCP state. All right, it's a lot of tracking, and we're doing this to identify local communication. That's the primary role of the IPC daemon, which uses the information gathered from the libipc instances to perform something we call endpoint matching. Endpoint matching is done by finding endpoints as seen by each of the libipc instances that have a match with the following data. They have the source and destination IP port pairs must match. There's a bidirectional n byte checksum of the data that must match. And finally, we use timing windows to ensure both that they are the same and to rule out the kinds of false positives that may occur. Together, IPCD uses this information together to identify that local communication has or has not occurred. And in this instance, as we previously mentioned, that there is local communication. All right. Now it's time to perform this optimization, which leads us to switching over to using Unix domain sockets. This starts at the IPC daemon, which generates this more efficient socket pair and sends one end of each over to the libipc instances, which then switch the communication to use that for a more direct, efficient communication, but transparent to the application. Which leads us to one of the big challenges of slipstream, which is its need to preserve the expected socket behavior for compatibility. So the application needs to remain blissfully unaware of the fact that we are now using a different protocol. And some of this gets tricky beyond reads and writes and whatnot, to things like epoll and select, which are discussed in our paper. All right. And, hooray, having used this more efficient transport, we're able to achieve up to double the performance of the application. Which brings me to our results. How well does this work? Well, the first question in understanding this is to understand how well we perform relative to local TCP. This is the whole point of doing this optimization. As we have shown here, I have a Memcached with a relative performance, where the red line is slipstream and the blue is the baseline. And as shown, we get up to 80% increase in operations per second on top, and as little as 40% as the scales, the x-axis go up. The performance, and we have other experiments in the paper that support this, well, of course, the performance benefits that your application will get depends on how heavily it is network bound. We ran experiments with PostgreSQL on a very CPU and I/O intensive workload, and well, it doesn't really help to get the commands there faster if the processing of them is what's slow. But Memcached and the like are actually good, great instances of this. All right, well, the next question to ask is, what is our performance relative to manually using UDS? We're doing this automatically and transparently and all of this, and so it's important to see how well we do versus the what you might do if you're manually designing this from the get-go. And you might notice that I have three lines here. I'm very sorry. And this is all relative to a thing I'm calling UDS modified. It's because we had to make a small modification to the NetPerf benchmark to not have us report that we made it faster, which is, of course, not possible. It's related to the buffer size. I'd be happy to discuss it in detail. But so the baseline here is this modified version of NetPerf. And as you can see, the lines are pretty close together. And from this, we're able to see that Slipstream can actually achieve the performance similar to manually using UDS directly. Finally, the performance question to ask is that of performance overhead. How much do you pay to use a system when it's not working, when it's not able to find this local communication? And to do this, we ran some fairly pessimistic results over the loopback. Of course, if it was over loopback, we would be optimizing it. but we ran it with NetPerf. Again, this is relative, and as you can see, the red slipstream line is slightly below the blue line. We ran the same experiment with Memcached, which is we're observing significantly less overhead. And just overall, we saw that we had an average of about 3.5% overhead for NetPerf and 1 to 3% for Memcached. Well, it's great that we have these performance results, but how well does it work? Well, we found that it supports many popular server applications, various databases and memory key value stores, as listed here. We also found that we succeeded in making it language agnostic. In practice, we've ran it with various Java applications, C-based applications, of course, Python, and some others. And for all of these, they all worked correctly, which, frankly, given the architecture of Slipstream, I was very proud of. Not only that, not only did we not manage to not break things, they were all optimized correctly when and only when they were actually communicating locally. This is, of course, not exhaustive, but I tried. and perhaps one of our coolest results, on top of that, everything I've said, is that we support using Docker. Due to the flexibility of our design, you can actually just use it with Docker. And I'll show you what I mean. So here's our example again, old friend. And let's Dockerize it. Well, all right, put an app in a container and put a Docker mindset. We're going to have a container per component, and they're talking. Well, it turns out that when you do this using the Docker link stuff, you actually see a reduction in performance, perhaps intuitively due to the extra layers that are now being traversed. Well, luckily, that's exactly what Slipstream is designed for. And so the question, let's see how the Slipstream can be used in this situation. Just like before, when we had a libipc per application, we're going to do exactly the same thing. You put a libipc instance into each container, and you have a single IPC daemon per physical node. And for fun, we can run IPCD in the container as well. And in fact, this is what we did in our evaluation. And when run this way, Slipstream is able to, as is, just the same, optimize across the containers. And in fact, because we're now able, we're cutting down through that many more layers, the performance gains are even more significant, from two to three. And a kind of really cool result is the performance you now get is not only no longer worse, but it is the same performance you'd get as if you weren't using Docker and you were using Slipstream. And just to show you a little more concretely what I mean by this, here's a graph of our performance using the NetPipe benchmark. And the yellow line at the bottom, this is again relative performance. The yellow line is what happens when you Dockerize it, which is significantly slower than the baseline TCP. And as you can see, the top two lines are the Slipstream in the various configurations, and if you have difficulty telling them apart, there's a reason for that. Slipstream, is you can see, is showing actual large speed ups over the baseline. And awesomely, we get the same performance when using Slipstream with or without Docker. All right, I have some conclusions to leave you with. Slipstream is a system that automatically uses the faster IPC mechanism when available. It is easy to deploy by design and experience. It is highly compatible. It requires no modifications to the operating system or the application. It is language agnostic. It is backwards compatible. Requires no modifications to the protocol, and it works with both partial deployments and communication with people not using Slipstream, although hopefully eventually they may. We see large performance benefits when using Slipstream, up to double the bandwidth, for host local communication. And when optimization is not possible, we impose very little overhead, making the use of Slipstream very practical. And finally, and maybe best of all, Slipstream itself and all the evaluation stuff we've used is freely available at our website. And thank you for your time. I'll now take questions.
Hi, Steve Muir, Comcast. This is very nice. I was a little skeptical of the value. Given its host local until you gave the Docker example, which
is good. Good thing I included that.
Docker's going to take over the world, so I'm told. My question goes right back to the beginning. You talked about how ugly it is to have to implement this libIPC stuff and all the system calls and so on that you have to emulate and track. And that sounds, so this is kind of, a lot of people have done this with user-spaced libraries and so on. I mean, so is the, it seems like that's kind of a common problem that we keep getting to. Is the libIPC stuff sort of generic and other folks could use it?
By design, yes. In practice, perhaps slightly less so. I am a researcher. I got it working, and sure. It worked with all these things.
So that's fine. So I actually have a sort of a follow-on question, which is more.
It's actually one of the reasons that I made it available was that, you know, this was a lot of engineering effort, and it was perhaps in areas straightforward, but still took, you know, a lot of work. I hope that people find that the kind of implementation useful.
Yeah, I think making code available is very cool. Credit to you for that. So the actual question that was a follow-on from that is, it strikes me, and this is sort of related to my comment earlier, that HTTP is now sort of the protocol of choice for a lot of stuff. Maybe you're sort of working at the wrong level of abstraction here. Did you consider whether, you know, the simpler thing, that, because most applications, when you actually look at what they do and when they're using HTTP, they don't care about, you know, a lot of complicated. If you look at Java and Python and so on, they tend to use just very simple reads and writes. So do you have thoughts on whether there's kind of an opportunity for simplification of this type of system?
That's a great question, actually. One difficulty there is how to make such a system language agnostic, right? Because now you're dealing at the way the language is, the program is expressing itself with respect to the HTTP requests. Actually, that's kind of how Slipstream got started. I wanted to do optimization of that sort. And when I tried to look at a baseline, I found that the local TCP basically was significantly slower, and I was like, well, that's silly. let's fix that. I think there is a place for that, and I'd be excited to help make that happen. There are a couple instances of Java applications that get Java solutions that can optimize, but by actually they can avoid all kinds of serialization. It's unnecessary because, like, you can just copy the whole data structure in shared memory instead of serializing it, and there's actually a lot of really cool benefits to be made there. So, I'm not sure if that answers your question, but that sounds great.
No, that's good points. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you.
Daniel Waddington from Samsung Research. Mm-hmm. You know, I was wondering if there's any fundamental reason that you couldn't replace the use of Unix domain sockets with mm-hmm. something better performance, you know, like yes. shared memory without the kernel involved.
I'm really glad you asked that. Yeah, there's a lot of, there's significantly faster things than UDS. We use them, frankly, because the UDS itself has a socket API, which made implementation, while still difficult, surprisingly so, a lot more straightforward. But I would love to have an excuse to use, because there's no reason at all that you couldn't, you know, be even faster by, you know, yeah. VM slice the pages across or something. You know, exactly. You could really...
Yeah, I think you'd probably get another 2x out of it easily.
I don't know the numbers offhand, but yeah, I wouldn't. That would not be surprised if that was the case. Thank you.
I'm Yongju from Samsung, and I have a question about why didn't you implement this in the kernel? Because if you implement this in kernel, you will mm-hmm. automatically get the link language agnostic and all the transparencies.
Yep, absolutely. Well, part of the big answer there, I think, is legacy and the fact that kernels today don't do it. There's a lot of people that don't want to run something like this in their kernel. There's been many patches that tried to get some behavior in the Linux kernel, from Google, for example, that didn't quite make it for, I'm not entirely sure why, but it's been tried. That's to say, not to say though, you're absolutely right, that the kernel would be, the task of detecting local communication would be a lot simpler at the kernel. But also, we wouldn't be able to do the kinds of optimizations in terms of shared memory if we wanted, because for Unix domain sockets, yeah, we could get the same performance, but I'm actually hoping to implement this using even faster, which would avoid going to the kernel at all, which of course is not possible. But yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank Will again.